This is the Kinky Cast, an adult, sexually explicit podcast. If you are under 18 years old, please stop the podcast now. This is episode 112 of our weekly exploration in the kinky world of BDSM and alternative relationships. Views expressed are not representative of the management of the Kinky Cast. We welcome guests with opposing viewpoints. Today, our guests are Master John and Slave Amanda, the Great Lakes Master and Slave 2015. Here's your hosts, Woody and the Beast.
Thanks, Max, and welcome to another edition of the Kinky Cast. Sitting in the studio with me is the Beast. Hey, Beast.
Hi, Woody. The weather is great, and my life is actually looking up.
So this week we got an interesting show. We have a couple with us from the Great Lakes Leather Alliance out of Chicago. We have Master John and Slave Amanda. How are you tonight?
Fine, thank you. Good to see you all.
Great to see you here. So you come to us as title holders.
Yes, we are currently serving as Great Lakes Master and Slave 2015.
How has that been so far?
So far, it has been fabulous.
Yep, we just presented on Human Furniture at Beat My Valentine in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Beat My Valentine, that sounds like fun.
Yes,
it was.
Human Furniture.
Mm-hmm.
Are one of you a furniture piece?
That would be me.
And what piece of furniture are you?
Whatever Master says he needs me to be at that time. I have been his footstool, his coffee table, his workbench for when he had to put his original Nintendo system back together, and I've also been his human podium and his coat rack.
I need one of those.
You do, but the care and feeding is the problem. As long as he wasn't soldering his video game back together, right?
Not that time, no.
Okay.
A little splatter there could be. Yeah. Well, that could be interesting, could it?
Yeah, it adds some extra elements of texture there. Hmm. What was winning like? We've talked to winners before, and that moment when you're up on stage and that whole process, that process is huge. What was your moment of actually winning like?
It was a little surreal because this was actually the second time we had run for this particular title. We had ran the previous year, and it was won by Master Brenda and Slave Arcane out of Ohio, a lovely couple. We're very good friends with them. And we were lucky enough to have had the chance to compete again. When they called our name this most recent contest, there's that split second of, wait, it was us this time, right?
And did they actually have to repeat it, or did you wake up quick enough to?
We woke up quickly enough to realize they said our names and to celebrate with everybody else. I mean, we were so appreciative of all the support of every person that was there, of the people back home in Chicago, of the Great Lakes region that we're friends with outside of Chicago. It was a tremendous event, and I think to this day we're still a little giddy still about it because we're just so happy we were able to win this title.
Well, that's well earned giddiness, because the process is the arduous task. Mm-hmm. But the real task is ahead of you yet.
Yes, sir, it is.
So you won back in October, just mm-hmm. in time for the holidays to put a damper on everything.
It'll slow you down a bit.
And then we come into winter. And the winter of 2015-16 has been entertaining, to say the least.
Especially in Chicago.
Yes. One day it's warm and sunny and you feel like you're ready to strip down to a bikini. The next moment you're throwing on the parka with a couple of hats and a few layers of gloves and going, why am I bothered going outside with pants on to go to work?
Which isn't to say you still can't have the bikini on underneath, though.
That's what I was thinking, John. I mean, and pants, what's the purpose of pants? Pantless Friday, right? We're getting ready to hit the road. You all are on the road in just a little bit to an event, and then you're coming back, but you're starting your tour then, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. We will be presenting at Cleveland Leather Awareness Weekend in April and Power Exchange Summit in May.
Wow. And but there's all the little events that you're going to be going to and all the groups you're going to be visiting. And what's your platform this year?
Our platform is, this is going to be the year of yes. For all the new people that we meet, we want to let them know, yes, there are opportunities here for you in this community, whether it be to learn a new kink, to learn about a relationship, to learn about what a master and slave relationship is. And if we can't educate you on that, on any of those topics, or if you need somebody else, we will find that person for you. We are looking forward to seeing where the year of yes is going to take us. I have a feeling there's going to be more yeses than nos, which is a good thing.
You mentioned relationships as one of those topics. I hear you have some interesting things that when you present a relationship. Tell us about that a little.
One of our classes is what we like to call relational antacid. We have observed a lot of people with what we call BURPS. That's an acronym that stands for Big Ugly Relationship Problems.
Mm-hmm.
And to that end, we have a four-part prescription that we call relational antacid, consisting of time, communication, investment, and humor.
Okay, that sounds interesting.
That humor is a new word that I've heard the others used in connection with relationships, but that humor, that's your own little brand there. Tell me more about humor.
I have always felt that humor is a vital component to any relationship, because if you can't laugh with each other, then you're not going to enjoy each other's company.
Now, in this world of big, scary doms and domes and mistresses and masters, humor, we don't see a lot of that.
On the contrary, I have found that the scariest sadists are the ones that laugh the loudest.
And those are the ones you want to be afraid of.
I do have an evil laugh when I'm in the dungeon.
So. No, you have a maniacal laugh.
Oh, well, yeah, you're right.
Humor is an important characteristic of all relationships. There has to be a moment to take a little time out and enjoy the roads along the way.
Absolutely. Whether they be petunias, tulips, or roses, you know, we want to take as much opportunity to laugh as much as we can, love as much as we can, have as much fun with others as we can.
You also say investment. That's a word that I've heard, but not often in connection with relationships. So what's your take on investment in as far as the an asset for relationships?
One of the things that I have noticed in couples that aren't happy with each other is that they are not invested, and I hate to use the same word redundantly, but they are not invested in the other partner or even in themselves. They go from moment to moment without stopping to think, what is going on? How can I make it better? And how is this influencing myself and others around me?
But you're talking about the 21st century. That's the way we all live with Twitter and Instagram and all that.
Well, ironically enough, we don't have Twitter and we don't have Instagram. We're still old-fashioned folks where we still communicate in person, by phone, by AOL. Yes, we actually still have AOL that we occasionally use when I'm at work and he gets messages through his phone. And yeah, we still have flip phones even, so we're not quite caught up with the 21st century yet, but we're working on it.
And so you're on your relationship in the old-fashioned way also.
Yeah, you could say that to a degree.
Well, the old-fashioned ways worked for how many millennia?
Exactly.
Maybe the evolution's going a little too fast sometimes. BURPS, what are some of the big ugly relationship problems you have had pitched at you during your presentations?
Well, one of the ones is what we like to call spontaneous relational combustion. Symptoms include collarings after a two-week acquaintance, redness of flags waving around conversations, and discomfort in others upon description.
Ah.
I like those, huh?
Yes. I've seen those more than once. Matter of fact, I might have been guilty of them 20 years ago more than once.
I don't know what you're talking about. I've never, well, maybe I have.
I actually owned a Velcro collar once. Again, this is the old-fashioned way sometimes wins out. The courtship is still alive and well, you think?
I think it can be. In our case, we have known each other for much longer than we have been in a relationship with each other. We've been together for 5 years, but we've known each other almost 20 at this point.
Mm-hmm. Wow. But you're playing some catch-up ball here then.
Yeah, I suppose you can say that.
You all made the jump from friends to more.
Yes.
At some point. And that is not the typical way in our world. Mostly it starts as more and becomes friends, hopefully, along the way. So how'd you make that jump from the other direction?
So originally, 5 years ago, I approached Master when we were friends because I was working at a domestic violence sexual assault agency, and a person that I worked with had been a victim of a scene gone wrong. And they needed some support through the court system, which I provided, but unfortunately, which I commonly saw then and still hear now, the court system failed this person. So I went to Master and I complained very strongly about the court system and how much I did not like the way how they treated this person, of which at the time Master had told me, if this ever comes up again, bring up point A, point B, point C, and make sure you do items 1, 2, 3 for this person. And I asked him, how do you know all this stuff? Of which he then outed himself to me as being a part of the BDSM community. And from there, we started talking more about what BDSM was, how it had helped him with his life and his choices for 5 years prior. And we decided, well, we've both had bad strings of relationships. Let's see where this goes. So we started playing with each other. We had some really hot scenes, actually. And then that led to us deciding to become top and bottom, then dom and submissive. And then we decided to jump into the deep end of the pool and start swimming without the floaties and become master and slave.
To give our listeners a perspective, how long did this transition between these three stages take you all?
We were top and bottom for about 1 year. Mm-hmm. We were dom and sub for 3 months, and we have been master and slave ever since.
The second phase didn't last long at all.
No, it didn't.
You employed the year and a day concept to let things grow a bit and mellow. Was that planned, or was that just the way it happened?
I think that was more the way it happened. We didn't apply a strict timeline to these phases. It was more that we sat down and said, this is good, but it still doesn't feel like the ideal fit yet.
Wait a minute. Did I hear communication in there?
Yes.
Ah, yes. But you all now have developed a whole model that you work on for your relationship, and that's based on some Asian principles?
Yes.
Tell us more.
Well, our model of master and slave is based on the concept of Bushido, which was a code of behavior attributed to the samurai of feudal Japan. I say modeled on because we take influence, but because the time period is so long and covered so many different things, there isn't a reliable one set of information.
And a lot of it's been mystified and romanticized.
Yes,
and
very much
so. Forth. Doesn't translate well into the Western language oftentimes.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a very honor-bound tradition, isn't it?
Yes, very much so.
How does this work in your relationship? What is the tops, I'm going to use the word top, and
sure,
the bottoms, rows, in making this work?
In our model, the top has three primary responsibilities. The first is to make decisions ensuring the health and prosperity of their relationship, just as a feudal lord would ensure the prosperity of their territory. The second is to take responsibility for the actions of the bottom, just as a samurai, in working with this model, was a reflection of their lord. So the bottom is a reflection of the top. If the bottom is not performing to the top's satisfaction, it is up to the top to assess why and apply corrections.
Okay. The top is running the house and fine-tuning all the workings of that house.
I would say so, yes.
Now, what's the bottom's role, Amanda?
The bottom's role is to carry out the top's orders, just as a samurai would carry out the orders of their lord. The bottom would also represent the top in their absence. So if the top and bottom frequently go to events, to the dungeon, for example, or just going out in public in general, the bottom would do everything they can to represent themselves and their top well in public. And if the top, for some reason, can't be there, then the bottom would still represent that top.
How long did it take you to develop the model, though? Because it's much more to it than common sense here. There's more, there is a model here that you've spent time and energy to develop that sounds very, very usable. How long did it take you to, I know it's still in works, but how long did it take you to put it together?
I would say that this was crystallized for us in the year between our first run at Great Lakes and our second.
Okay, that last year then?
Yeah.
Okay, and inspiration for the model?
We both have a mutual influence from the samurai culture. We have always had great admiration for the depictions and the various media outlets, and it got to the point where we realized this is a language that we both speak.
Not only that, but we've been influenced by some forms of media. The Last Samurai with
Tom Cruise
and Ken Watanabe was something we modeled Bushido after. We also got a lot of ideas from the comic series Usagi Yojimbo, which is about a samurai rabbit. And there's a lot of information about Bushido and honor in that series that we liked. And so we figured, let's take it out of the comic books and out of the movie and see what we could do with that.
And it's still developing at this point then.
Yes.
Now with the term Chicago style added to it.
Yes, exactly. With a little bit of snow and a little bit of sort mixed into the whole picture.
Is there a book in the works?
Not at this time, no.
Not yet. Not yet.
Not yet.
Your title year, you're taking this show on the road. Are you hitting small groups, big groups? What are your plan to hit to share yourselves with others and as part of the Yes campaign?
Well, we do want to make connections with all of the local mass chapters, if we can, both inside and outside the Great Lakes region, even going as far as Canada if possible. We also want to reach out to the different TNG groups. We want to see if we can talk to some of the younger folks that are just starting to come into the lifestyle and talk to them more about the master-slave relationship. We also just want to talk to whoever wants to listen. I mean, we've gone to events that are outside of leather. We've actually gone to Midwest Fur Fest and talked to some fursuiters about the master-slave relationship. That was interesting.
Such an interesting group of people, aren't they?
Oh, yes, they are. And very interesting to talk to, especially when you start throwing in fursuiters and their language and master-slaves and our language. But it was a fun conversation.
We have a huge event that we're headed to in May down here called Frolicon, and it covers all of those bases. Fursuiters, kinkies, pollies, gamers, everybody comes together. How many was it, Woody?
They're looking at 3,000 this year.
3,000 this year.
Wow. That's huge.
So sometime when you got just some time for your fun, put Frolicon on your calendar. It's a 24/7 event for 3 days. So, you know, pretty intense. But the fursuiters, met them at Frolicon a couple of years ago, and very interesting group. Okay. with their own culture, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
You're branching beyond BDSM. Do you live this 24/7? Are you out?
We are out to some. There are some people that don't need all the details of our personal lives. There are some that we don't want to share all the details of our personal lives.
For example, I'm out to a certain degree with my boss and my coworkers. My coworker actually outed me at the office, which was scary and kind of funny at the same time. And then we do have vanilla friends that are aware of us being master slave, though they don't understand it completely. And a couple of family members have an idea, but they haven't asked too many questions. And I think we apply by the belief of, if they ask, we'll be honest, but we don't want to scare them too much.
Ah, yes. You don't want to panic them.
Right.
But, you know, some people don't understand the concept of husband and wife either.
That's true.
Our personal lives, but, you know, sometimes they do overlap with our real world. Mm-hmm. And I'm totally in the closet due to my professions. Mm-hmm. And it's a struggle some days when I just want to share the convention I've been to or the fun I had on the weekend, and they just wouldn't get it.
Mm-hmm. No, they wouldn't.
John, how long ago did you find the scene for yourself?
I started going to events when I was 21. I had read scads of things on the nets before then, but I waited until I was 21 to actually go out and start meeting people.
And so that is just about 11 years ago.
Yes.
I guess it's changed a little since you first put your toe in the water to where you are now.
Yes, definitely.
Better, worse, different?
A little of everything. I think the thing that I have noticed is that concepts that I hear older leather folk talking about seemed to be more prevalent at things I went to at the time I was going out at first. For example, I've seen a lot of conversations lately around vetting people. Well, when I was first going out, that's what you did. You couldn't get into the events if nobody had met you before. Or I hear a lot of discussions now about negotiations. Well, again, it seems like that's what you did. And there was plenty of spontaneous pickup play, to be sure. But it also seems that people are having the same conversations that have already been had.
Well, the wheel keeps on turning, for sure. But I will say that I've noticed such a turnover in the community that I think sometimes these conversations have to be repeated.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. And what's old news for some is always new news to somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the 50 Shades phenomena definitely thrust us into a whole nother realm there.
It did. It opened the door and kind of shoved us through, and either you were ready for it or you were going to prepare yourselves for whatever's going to be on the other side of that door.
And I know down here we have seen a huge influx of new people, and particularly the younger set, which is exciting. Somebody to carry the community forward has some of us age out over time. But these conversations are good ones to have still. So you see the wheel still turning then.
Mm-hmm.
Amanda, you are newer to this.
Yes.
And you're still here.
Yes, I was not scared off, much to the surprise of a lot of folks for the first event I went to. I want to say it was 5 years ago now, Master?
About there, yes.
About 5 years ago, yes.
They thought you wouldn't make it, huh?
They did not think I was going to make it. Master has informed me that there were a couple of people actually making bets as to whether or not I was going to ever come back after the presentation we attended.
Are any of those bets still outstanding, I wonder?
No, all tabs have been paid on that front.
Okay, so nobody was playing the long game.
No.
You took to this very, very quickly. Any background leanings that you just hadn't explored, or?
I've been interested in kink since probably I was about 11 or 12 years old. I just didn't know what it was at that time. I grew up in a very conservative, very safe family where even talking about sex was difficult for family members. So as I grew up and as I started to get out into the world and find myself more, I started taking interest in, well, I remember these feelings from when I was 11. I'm not sure what they are. Let's explore them further. But I never had good partners as an adult to explore those feelings with. It wasn't actually until I talked to Master and he introduced me to the scene that I realized all these feelings are normal. There's people that like the same stuff I do. ooh, this is going to be fun.
And it's been a roller coaster ever since.
And an awesome roller coaster at that.
Not just people, but whole communities of people.
Yes.
Tell us about the community where you are. Chicago has a historically strong community. Sometimes it's been a bit fragmented, but it's always had a lot of options there.
Yes.
Right now, we are home to the Leather Archives and Museum. I believe their slogan is, based in Chicago, serving the world.
Lovely people there. We did a story on them a couple of years ago. If you haven't been to see the collection, you got to go.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
We also have two primary dungeons, the LRA and GD2. Lovely organizations, both. There are rope groups, there are age play groups, there are women's leather groups, there's a large puppy play group, we have two masked chapters.
Two?
Yes. Two current, and if memory serves, there is a third one in the works.
Wow, congratulations there.
Thank you.
Keeping all that running must mean you have a very vibrant and alive community.
Yes.
Very much so.
And you spent some time out in the other communities and spreading the gospel and the good words.
We try to, at any rate.
Any war stories from the campaign trail yet? To use some election year jargon here.
The one thing that I keep coming back to is, regardless of where we've gone, whether it be a leather event, a general kink event, somebody always comes up to us and says, I've never seen anybody do master and slave the way you guys do, which tells me two things. One, we're doing something right. And two, that more people need to see more master and slave examples.
What will people see when they see you all interact?
Just what we have in our relational antacid. I'd like to say that they see two people who are very invested in each other, who talk, who communicate, and who laugh a lot.
So this is a very dynamic and fluid thing that they see. It's not rigid and military-like at all.
It's both, in that one of the things that Amanda does very well is formal postures. And some people say, wow, you can afford to take it down a bit. And I say, no, don't take it down a bit. I like that. To me, formality does show a degree of investment. I'd like to say that we are very easy to talk to, but we also very much admire and relish our formalities.
It's an interesting combination that you bring to this, then.
Mm-hmm.
Master-slave couples, do you run into them often? Or in our neck of the woods, you run into people claiming the titles, but often not walking the walk.
Mm-hmm. We've encountered a few of those. We've encountered a few master-slave couples, and we have seen some people who say they're a master or say they're a slave. And I say, you know what? I'm glad that that's something that you want to pursue. I would suggest that there's more research to be done and that there are more opportunities to learn.
Speaking of research, can you give some suggestions besides your own philosophy of what you draw upon some of the authors that you have looked at that our listeners might be interested in pursuing?
Certainly. Master Dan and Slave Dawn have a lovely book called Living MS. And one of the books that I found very useful was the book Paradigms of Power, edited by Raven Caldera.
Raven and Joshua, great,
yes,
great authors and speakers.
That's a really good book, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Paradigms of Power.
I haven't read that. I'm a big fan of Joshua's Real Service book.
No, that's another good one.
And if I may jump in with at least two of my personal favorites, one of the books that I like is To Honor, To Obey, and To Serve by Vi Johnson. And the other one I like is a collection of fairy tales called Leather Ever After by Sassafras Lowry. It incorporates a lot of different power exchange, master-slave, sir-boy relationships, but encompasses them in fairy tales. So for those that want to see those different relationships in a fun setting, like what you grew up with as a child, I recommend that book for sure.
I hadn't heard about that one. I will have to look that up.
Master actually surprised me with that for Valentine's Day last year as a gift, and I think I've got enough creases and smudge marks in it from the multiple times I've read it to definitely say it's worth it.
Well, fairy tales have long been a form of folk stories to pass on traditions and morality through. That's an interesting concept there. We want to thank you all.
Thank you very much for having us.
We wish you a great year here. Come back and look us up when you are back off the road and breathing again.
Thank you. We shall.
I know there'll be a certain amount of relief to pass the title next October over.
I'll be able to kick off my highest heeled shoes at least and be able to walk around barefoot for a couple of minutes at least.
There you go. Our guests tonight have been Master John and Slave Amanda from Chicago.
Thank you.
You have been listening to episode 112 of the Kinky Cast. For more information about this show, go to kinkycast.com. The Kinky Cast is a production of Rooster in the Round. On behalf of Woody, the Beast, and all our kinky crew, I'm Max. See you next week when we bring you Prater and Julie, a different kind of relationship.